This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
This is a Friday morning show on Joy 94.9 with myself, Leo. My next guest is a photographer. He has photographed some of the most legendary people on the planet, including Nelson Mandela, Audrey Hepburn, Michael Jackson, and Oprah Winfrey. A big Joy welcome to photographer to the stars, Richard Simkin. Welcome to Joy, Richard.
Thanks for having me.
No worries at all. Now, photography, when did you first start taking photographs?
I became a photographer as a little boy, actually. I was only 16. I met Michael Hutchins from INXS when I was 16 and didn't really understand what charisma was, but Michael Hutchins was the most charismatic person that I'd ever met. And I spent the 5 weeks of my school holidays in 1990 hanging out at the recording studios with INXS with Michael Hutchins. And I was kind of like that kid in Almost Famous where, you know, you're just a naive kid and you were hanging out with a huge international rock band. So that's how it kind of all started. I kind of became friends with INXS and Michael at a very young age. And, of course, in those days, in 1990, Michael was dating Kylie Minogue. And so Kylie was at the studios a lot. And I just got to sort of mix with other celebrities and kind of got in the world of photography that way, almost by accident, but it was a lot of fun.
What an amazing, I guess, opportunity, because actually Michael was just full of charisma, and I never met him, but I'm watching him on stage and performing. He's just an amazing artist, and he actually allowed you to sort of practice taking photographs of him as well, which is quite cool.
He did, and I got to know him in those 5 months at the studios with INXS, and he kind of took me under his wing, and he said, what do you want to be when you grow up? Because I was only 16, and I said, well, I want to become a photographer. And he said, well, he basically said, you can use me as a guinea pig, you know, practice your photography on me. So there I was as a 16-year-old kid with a $90 little camera doing photo shoots with, you know, one of the biggest rock stars in the world at the time. So it was really cool.
And as I said, he was dating Kylie at the time as well, which was, and I do remember this gorgeous photograph, a black and white photograph of them two together. Did you take that photograph or was it somebody else?
No, I don't know. I think, I do probably think I know what you're talking about. That's a black and white photo of Michael and Kylie. I think that was at Kylie's 21st birthday.
Photo.
And I think a guy called Robert Rosen may have taken it. But it is a beautiful photograph. And I know it really well. But I didn't take it, no.
You've got some really interesting stories as well, because there's a really cool story that you decided that when you're in Adelaide, you knocked on the door of cricket legend Sir Donald Bradman. You just knocked on the door hoping to meet him and to get things signed and to take some photographs with him. How did that come about?
I've had many projects that I've worked on over the years, and one we just touched on, it's called Richard and Famous, and I started that when I was 15, and I basically got myself photographed with, well, 2,000 celebrities over 25 consecutive years. And when I turned 40 last year, I kind of finished that project. But what the Don Bradman story is about is, somewhere in the mid-90s, about 95, I was reading some newspapers, and I'd realised that once an iconic Australian passed away, there was a small article in the paper, and, you know, which would sometimes come with a photograph. And once you read the article, you'd throw that paper in the bin. Now, someone like Don Bradman didn't need me to, you know, turn him into an Australian legend, because, you know, he'd already done that back in the 30s and 40s. But a lot of people, like a guy called Dr. David Warren, who in 1953 invented the black box flight recorder, hadn't got a lot of recognition in his life for doing that. And I thought, well, you know, I should go around with my camera and, you know, document these people's lives and also take my video camera as well. So I thought, well, I'll start with the top. Who do I want to meet for this Australian Legends project? So I was in Adelaide for the Grand Prix 95, and I'd gotten Don Bradman's his address. And I thought, I've got nothing to lose, so I'll go knock on the door. So I knocked on his door and asked if I could meet him. And a couple of minutes later, he came out, and I took some photos of him, and I got an autograph and photo with him, and I had a good chat. So it kind of started the whole Australian Legends project, you might say.
Do you ever get a bit, I guess, starstruck when you meet these legends and celebrities?
The only time I was star, I was never starstruck meeting any of the Australian legends, because what I do is write them a letter and ask for a photo shoot and an interview, and so it was all pretty much prearranged. But Michael Jackson, when I met Michael Jackson in 96, I was standing there in front of him, and I was thinking, wow, this is Michael Jackson. So you can probably hear my little boy in the background. Besides being a photographer, I'm also a full-time dad, so there's a photo in the Australian Legends book, which you may have seen. It's of Bob Hawke, and I didn't have anyone looking after him that day, so I did a photo shoot with Bob Hawke, and my son was in my left arm, and in my right arm I had the camera, and I was then doing a photo shoot of Bob Hawke, so it would have been a funny photo if someone took that shot.
Yeah, let's move on to the new book, because it's called 100 Australian Legends, The People Who Shaped a Nation. And there's so many legends in this book. You mentioned Bob Hawke before as well. But people like Reg Grundy, who's a famous TV producer, Barry Humphries is in there, The Seekers, Jack Thompson. I mean, how did you collate who to include in the book?
I basically just did research. Well, this kind of started, back when I started this project of Australian Legends. And because, in 95 when I had this idea, we didn't really have the internet. It was all, I think 95 may have been the first year of the internet. So it was kind of new. And I just started going to libraries and reading books and researching on who was, I don't want to use the word famous, but who was part of Australian history? Who were the people that contribute to, who we are today, who helped, help make the nation and shape the nation? And there was people like Don Bradman, who I instantly knew, and Joan Sutherland, the famous opera singer, and people like that. So I didn't have to research them because I knew who they were. But it was kind of me just going through, as time went on, and working out the people I wanted to meet, the people that were, very important. And then, of course, I had to, work out, if they were still alive or not. And this is what separates this book from, I guess, the other books that are about other famous Australians. I actually met all 100 of them, and I photographed them. So there's 100 original photographs of the legends, and then I also took a video camera when I went to their place, their house or their office, and I've got their own stories. I remember sitting down last year, in October last year, with Frank Lowy, and he spent an hour with me and told me exactly when he came here in the 50s to Australia, and he, as a migrant, and he had no money. In fact, he had to borrow money to come to Australia, and then he told me how he started Westfield in Sydney, in a town, in a suburb in Blacktown in Sydney. There was a population growth in the 60s, and he was selling, meats and all that sort of stuff to the shops out in Blacktown. And him and his business partner, John Saunders, bought a small little, shop and a deli, and it grew into Westfield, and now he's worth, just under $7 billion. And there I was sitting with him, and he was telling me the very roots of how he came here, and then, sitting with him now 50 years on or 60 years on of, this billionaire that owns Westfield. And listening to those stories were pretty, incredible.
Because not only are the photographs impressive, but as those stories behind the photographs and behind those legends is also really, really important and really interesting as well. I mean, people like Rupert Murdoch, who was renowned to be this tough exterior, this real tough media tycoon. Yeah. What was it like meeting him and getting his story?
That one was a little different, I guess, from the other ones. But because he is known as that tough sort of media mogul, and you don't get a lot of time with him, I'd done the old-fashioned approach, which I still do. I write letters to people and ask for interviews and photo shoots and stuff. And with Rupert Murdoch, it was almost impossible. And so I had to think outside the square on this one. And I found out some years ago that his son Lachlan was doing the Sydney to Hobart, the boat race. So I went down to the beginning of the Sydney to Hobart, an hour or two before it started. And I noticed Rupert walking around because Lachlan was going to do the race that year. And I basically just went up to Rupert and said, look, I'm working on this project called Australian Legends. I'd love to photograph you and get a question or two. And he said, oh, I don't think I'm an Australian legend. And I said, well, you are part of history. I mean, your life's incredible what you've done. You started off in Adelaide, taking over his father's newspaper back, when in his 20s, and, built this multi-billion dollar empire that, took over the world, globally and in the media world. And so he said, all right, we'll take two photos then. Literally took two photos of him and got a question or two, and then he said, all right, I got to go, good luck with it. And that was Rupert. But a lot of the other times I spent a lot more time with, some of the other legends, and over the years had become friends with many of them. You know, I was good friends with Smokey Dawson and Murray Rose, the swimmer. Michael Pate became a friend of ours, and Nancy Bird Walton, who in the 30s used to fly with Charles Kingswood Smith. She was the first female aviator that we had, and you know, I'd often go over to her house for lunch. So some of the people it was only a moment with, but most of them it was, you know, I did spend a lot of time with them and form friendships, which was nice.
Funny, Richard, I'm going to name you five, celebrities or legends, and just tell us something about the photo shoot and about your story about meeting them, okay? The first one, Audrey Hepburn.
Audrey, okay, that was back in 1991, and that was for the Rich and Famous project that I was talking about earlier. I'd seen that she was in Sydney for UNICEF, and now back in those days, over 20 years ago, celebrity was very innocent. There was a real innocence to celebrity where you could meet them quite easily, and these days it's changed dramatically where people fly in on. I was looking at the paper just this morning, and Lady Gaga flew into Sydney today, or yesterday, on a private jet. Now, you know, some years ago you could have gone to the airport and met her when she flew in. Now they use private jets and get into cars on the tarmac, go back to the hotel, you know, using the loading dock or a car park, and you just don't see them or have that access anymore. But back in the early days of me doing this, back in the late 80s to, you know, up until last year, there was an innocence to celebrity. And she'd come out in 91 to Sydney for UNICEF, and I'd seen her on TV. And I thought, well, how do I meet her? Where's she staying, you know? So I rang up UNICEF, and I said, look, my name's Richard. I'm a fan of Audrey Hepburn's, and I know she's in Sydney. Would you be able to tell me if I could meet her? And the lady said, oh, well, she's staying at this particular hotel, but she's actually leaving in a couple of hours. So if you want to meet her, I'd get down there pretty quick, which I did. And she came out the front, and I got a photo with her and a couple of her. But those days are long gone where I could just ring up, you know, say someone like UNICEF and find out where Audrey Hepburn's staying. It's it'd be a pretty quick no these days if you ask for someone like that.
The late, great Heath Ledger.
Heath was in 99. I got an invite to the Two Hands movie premiere after party, which was in Sydney, and it was taken. That party was up at a hotel in King's Cross, which is the red light district of Sydney, and he wasn't famous then, so. But I picked him as an up and coming star. We spent a couple of hours together having a few beers, and like the rest of the crowd did at the party. But we got chatting for a while, and he told me he wanted to not be famous, because I don't think Heath was comfortable with being famous. He had problems with paparazzi and stuff over the years. But I know he definitely wanted to go to Hollywood and break in and do some good movies and quality movies, which of course he did. And, you know, they did give him the Academy Award, unfortunately, after he passed away. But what a great talent. And, horrible shame when someone like that passes away, for sure.
Oprah Winfrey.
Oprah was in 2010, and she'd come to Sydney, of course, as we all know, to film her Oprah show. And it was incredible that the amount of security for Oprah was something you only see usually when a head of state, president of America or someone like that comes to Sydney. I mean, it was full on police security, police protection, roads were blocked, there was barricades in certain streets in Sydney when she ate, you know, at a restaurant or popped into somewhere. I mean, it was, you usually don't see that much security for a celebrity unless, you know, say Obama or, you know, one of the other presidents of America. But I found out she was having an after party in Sydney with the week had finished of her shooting the show, and got a tip-off from someone and went down to the restaurant, and she had about 20 police surrounding the restaurant. And it was just me and my friend, and I said, look, there's only two of us here. We just want to get a photo with her. And they said, no, you must wait across the road, and if you cross the road when she comes out, we're going to arrest you. And I thought, well, what would you arrest me for, just asking Oprah for a photo? Like, it's not breaking the law. Of course, it's an intimidation thing that they were doing on me. But anyway, I saw her coming out because of all the flash photography and the press and all the other people around her, and I just walked across the road, and by that stage the police had forgotten that me and my friend were waiting for her, and I asked her for a photo, and she said yes. So lucky to get that one, because it wasn't an easy one to get at the time.
Now, this Russell Crowe has always been quite notorious for being quite difficult, or can be quite difficult. What was he like?
I've met Russell many times over the years, and he's hit and miss. He'll either treat you like a best mate, and you think, oh, Russell's awesome, or he'll be standoffish and, you know, a bit moody, you might say. you know, I look, it wouldn't be easy being famous, having people, especially these days, because, you know, if you think about the world we live in today with social media, every time someone sees a celebrity, well, not every time, but a lot of the times these days when someone sees someone famous, even if you don't like them, you're still going to go up and ask for a selfie with them, because now you can put that on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, and then you become kind of popular and cool for a moment with your friends as well. And, you know, it's almost you becoming famous once you get a photo with someone famous. You know, even if you're not a fan of theirs, you just know that they're famous, so you want a photo. And say, hey, look who I met today, Russell Crowe. You know, don't like Gladiator, but I got a photo with him. And then you get 400 likes on Facebook, and it makes you cool for the day. So you can imagine it would be, you know, sometimes hard. I don't live far from Russell in Sydney, actually, and I do see him around the shops maybe, you know, couple of times a year, and he's usually sitting with his kids at the coffee shop just having a coffee, and people around the area don't bother him because they know, you know, that's his private time. But you can imagine being famous every time you go out and people coming up to you and wanting a photo every couple of minutes, it might become a little bit draining.
Now, finally, someone who does the fame game very well, always classy, always got a smile on her face. I've met her twice.
Yep.
I interviewed her a couple of weeks ago, Kylie Minogue.
I was guessing you're going to say Kylie. I got to know Kylie, yeah, as I said to you a little while ago, with when she dated Michael Hutchins. So that was in 1990, and she was going to the studios a lot, and there was no press or fans around, so, you know, it was all very low key and very comfortable with everyone. So I got to know her back in the early 90s and hung out with her for a bit. But, you know, she's a real professional, and she knows the game of, you know, there is a fame game, you could say, behind all of this, and some people can accept it and play it well and use it to their advantage, and other people like Heath Ledger are uncomfortable with it. You know, people like Cate Blanchett are uncomfortable with it too. They're very private. They just want to do their movies and then switch off and, you know, be parents and live a normal life, which, you know, it doesn't work like that, unfortunately. It doesn't. I mean, you can't be famous when you want to be famous and promote things when you want to be famous, and then other times you don't want to be famous. Well, it doesn't work like that. Once you're famous, you're famous. So, but Kylie's a real pro, and she's often very, very nice and warm to the fans, and she has a great fan following. So she's really cool, and you've met her twice. So what was she like to you?
Well, for the first time, actually, I was at the airport in Auckland, where I come from.
Okay.
And it was 1997, and she just released Some Kind of Bliss. And I was at the airport with a friend. We were waiting for like 6 hours.
Mm.
And we're the only two fans there, and she was absolutely lovely. Just, you know, everything I imagined that she would be.
Yeah.
And the second time I met her was when she was doing the Hey Hey Saturday around Aphrodite time, when they had those two special shows.
Oh, yeah.
And I was at the Channel 9 studios, and it was just a very quick sort of photo, hi, how are you going, type of thing. But interviewing her just a few weeks ago, I guess the biggest compliment anyone can sort of get is that when the diehard fans say to you, oh, that was the most amazing interview, she was really relaxed, she was really honest, she was really sort of open. But hearing that from, I guess, the diehard fans made it, yeah, it felt really good, you know, because I've been a fan since day one myself, and hearing that feedback was really cool, you know, I've done my job.
Totally. Yeah, no, it definitely very cool. And she is cool. And you can imagine, I mean, you know, as you said, you've met her a few times and you've waited at the airport, which I have as well over the years for her as well. And you can imagine every day getting off a plane and there's 1, 2, 3, 10, you know, fans waiting for you, and they want your photo, they want your autograph, you know, they want a little bit of your time. So she handles that quite well because, you know, it's Kylie Minogue and she would have to deal with that on a daily basis. I don't think there'd be a day that would go by, you know, when she goes out in public that someone wouldn't want to go up to her and you know, say something to her, you know, hopefully nice, or, you know, get a photo of her with her, an autograph, shake her hand, tell her how much they love her, tell her about the concerts. And this is every single day of your life. So I know she handles it really well for who she is. And you know, someone like Madonna, she doesn't interact with the fans as much as what Kylie would. So I know Madonna's, you know, someone like her is almost impossible to meet and get a photo with her on autograph, where where Kylie, you know, she's just as much of an icon as Madonna is. She handles it really well and it's really cool.
The new book is called 100 Australian Legends, The People Who Shaped a Nation, is in stores right now from Mr. Richard Simkin. Richard, thank you so much for chatting to me today. It's been a really great chat, actually.
It's been a fantastic chat, and thanks for talking to me, and hopefully we'll speak again when another project comes out.
Thank you so much for the stories, and we can find out more pictures in your new book out right now.
It is. Thanks a lot.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.